Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having fantastic Wednesdays wherever you are across this great country, around this great land. We got a lot to run through. Also want to let you know a little bit later today, we'll be doing the fade with Kelly Stewart, a.k.a. Kelly in Vegas. We had a little bit better gambling weekend this past weekend than we did the weekend before. We'll run through all the college football title game picks as well as NFL Week 13 action. I'll give you my six-pack. I'll tap the veins and give you a couple of blood bank guarantees, and hopefully we will continue to keep all of you rich. That is coming in a bit. But first, we got the college football playoff rankings come out last night. We got a lot to run through today, so let's just fire away. A lot of people surprised by the way that the college football playoff committee ranked everyone. Georgia 1, Michigan 2. I don't think anybody was surprised there. I think pretty much everybody would agree. Georgia 1, Michigan 2. But then you had Washington 3 and Florida State 4. And let's just start with those for, well, I'll go to Oregon 5. I'll go ahead and tell you everything. Oregon was in the 5th spot. And then you had Ohio State in 6. You have Texas in 7, and you have Alabama in 8. So the top 8 really hasn't changed for a long time now, but the order there is becoming a little bit intriguing. So my two biggest takeaways from the college football playoff rankings were these. One, if Florida State wins, they're in. I think it's going to be hard to knock out 13-0 Florida State as they are sitting right there at 4. If somebody loses above them, you would expect that they would rise up. They're playing a top 15 caliber Louisville team, so they would get an additional top 25 win. And there's been a lot of question about the Jordan Travis injury and how that would impact Florida State. To me, if the committee has Florida State right now sitting at 4, and if they win against the top 15 caliber opponent in Louisville, then I don't see any way possible that they're falling outside of the top 4, because many of the teams outside of the top 4 are also playing games. But other than Alabama, nobody is playing a team that is supremely highly rated, and Ohio State is not even playing at all, okay? So Florida State, to me, if they win and go 13-0, the committee is saying they're in. Also, when you've got Washington at 3 and Oregon at 5, Washington's certainly in if they beat Oregon again. But I don't understand how Oregon sitting at 5 would beat one of the teams rated above them, cancel out their only loss of the season, and how Oregon would not then end up in the playoff 4. Okay? Again, that's based on the way things are seeded this week, based on the rankings that exist this week. Building further, Ohio State is basically out of it, right? I don't see, based on the way that all of this is laying out, I said that there was like a 61-1 chance or whatever if Ohio State won, that if Ohio State was sitting there and you had, let's see, you'd have to have Washington lose, you'd have to have Georgia lose, you would have to have Florida State lose, you'd have to have Texas lose, you'd have to have a lot of upsets in order for Ohio State to find itself in the mix. Nobody as far back as 7 and as 8 has ever made the playoff in by jumping in that final week. Now, maybe Alabama, if they beat Georgia, would be able to get in. I think the challenge there is you got to get past Texas too, and Texas is a 2-touchdown favorite over Oklahoma State, and I don't know how you erase the fact that Texas beat Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium by double digits. Otherwise, there's no point in that game having ever been played at all. So Again, two big takeaways. It seems to me, based on what the committee's rankings tell us, Florida State would be in with a win, and whoever wins the Washington-Oregon game would be in with a win. Questions that are still outstanding. What happens with Texas and Alabama if Alabama were to beat Georgia, but Texas were to win as well? I don't see how Alabama gets in over Texas. And on top of that, I also look at Georgia sitting at number one and say if you lose a neutral site game to number eight, you go all the way from the best team in the country to not even one of the top four teams in the country. And I understand Ohio State fans sitting around saying, wait a minute, we fell all the way to six. I get it. This is setting up for a recipe of a mess. But that is where we are as we sit right here. A couple of other college football stories. Over 19 million people watched Ohio State, Michigan. That is the most watched regular season college football game since LSU-Bama 2011. 12-year high for college football viewership. Also, Mike Mulvihill, who does a great job collating data, this is the most watched season, regular season, in college football history. There has never been a point in time when more people have watched. I think that with the college football playoff about to get here, overall college football viewership is going to absolutely skyrocket. But biggest and most watched college football regular season game in 12 years. Congrats to everybody at Fox Sports for putting that on. Also, Big Noon beat, according to Fox PR, now there's arguing back and forth between the PR universes, but according to Fox PR, Big Noon, for the first time ever, beat ESPN College Game Day head-to-head. Now, obviously, that's because Big Noon had the benefit of leading into Ohio State going head-to-head with Michigan for the biggest game of the year. But I remember FS1 launched with our own version. I say our because I've been at Fox Sports a lot of the time over the past decade or so. With our own version of a college football pregame show in 2013. I was on the first show to air on FS1. It was me, Aaron Andrews, Petros Papadakis, Joel Klatt, Eddie George, and Mike Pereira, if I remember correctly. Those were the six of us that were on the new Fox pregame show. A lot of fun. First time I'd ever really been in a television studio ever. I had never done television before, and that was a tremendous fun, a lot of fun. Almost no one watched. So for Fox to have remained committed and for Brady Quinn and Matt Leinart and Rob Stone and this year Mark Ingram and Chris Felica and, you know, certainly I've been on for the last 3 years, different points of time, for us to work as hard as we have and all of the staff supporting that show to suddenly be able, and I say suddenly because it's actually like a 10-year process, to beat College Game Day at all in a head-to-head process is a monster success for Fox Sports and everybody affiliated with Big Noon, from Eric Shanks, the president of Fox Sports, all the way down to the youngest 22- or 23-year-old production assistant who is working on those shows, should be super proud of that because that's a testament to a lot of hard work, a lot of good, fun to be had on the pregame show. Urban Meyer, I think I forgot to mention Urban Meyer. Bob Stoops was on the show in the past as well. All of that rolling together, major commitment, major success. Congratulations to everybody involved in Big Noon kickoff. Again, according to Fox Sports PR, beating ESPN Game Day, College Game Day head-to-head. Speaking of years ago, I would argue that if you go back in time, one of the most fun stories that I remember occurring was, and I understand it was also embarrassing to some people involved, but Bobby Petrino allegedly wrecking his motorcycle and it being determined that he was having an affair with somebody who was working inside of the Arkansas football offices. Bobby Petrino, who last year was the offensive coordinator for Texas A&M, has now been rehired as the new offensive coordinator underneath Sam Pittman. I got to tell you, the only way possible for Bobby Petrino to enter to the field there in Fayetteville, the only way that he can enter the field, he has to do it on a motorcycle. You know, if you were watching the Egg Bowl between Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Mississippi State's interim coach came out on a four-wheeler, and I'd never seen that before. But Bobby Petrino rolling into Arkansas's Razorback Stadium there on the motorcycle would be absolutely incredible television to see. Bobby Petrino back as Arkansas offensive coordinator after he was fired for wrecking his motorcycle and lying about a relationship with a subordinate. SEC football is just tough to beat. Story that I've got an intriguing idea for you out there. Mark Cuban is reportedly selling the Dallas Mavericks. And yesterday, Monday, he stepped down from Shark Tank. Now he is selling the Dallas Mavericks, reportedly to the Adelson family, for $3.5 billion. Why would this be happening? Why would Mark Cuban on Monday step down from Shark Tank and on Tuesday sell his stake in the Dallas Mavericks for $3.5 billion? Now, I've gone back and forth with Mark Cuban about the future of the NBA a lot over the years. And Mark Cuban has tried to argue, oh, the future of the NBA is incredibly bright. I just told you that college football just set an all-time viewership record. The NBA has never come close to the viewership that it had in the late 90s. Its cultural force has declined. Since COVID, its numbers have been down year after year after year. So Mark Cuban selling the Dallas Mavericks for $3.5 billion. What could be going on here? Why would he be doing that? To me, maybe he's going to run for president of the United States. And my initial thought was, oh, he's probably going to run as a third party, maybe as a no labels candidate. What if he's actually decided to challenge Joe Biden for the Democrat nomination? And the reason why he's selling his team and stepping down from television is because you can't stay on television while you're running for president, but also because he's trying to put together a billion-dollar-plus nest egg to allow him to run. Now, who is buying the Dallas Mavericks from Mark Cuban? The Adelson family. The Adelson family, very plugged in to the overall gambling universe. There may well be a connection here where they want to get a license for Texas to legalize sports gambling. But also, could they, who are the biggest supporters of Donald Trump in the country, know that Mark Cuban is going to challenge Joe Biden, and they then are fine with their billions of dollars potentially being used to bring down Joe Biden? Just an idea worth thinking about. Remember, this is what Mike Bloomberg did 4 years ago. He stepped in and decided to run as an independent candidate for president, spent around $1 billion, I think, ended up losing to Joe Biden, but he entered the race late because there wasn't a great deal of enthusiasm about the available candidates. And so I wonder, on some level, whether that might be what Mark Cuban's doing. Instead of running as a third-party candidate, could he be trying to put pressure on Joe Biden and be entering as a Democrat presidential candidate running against Joe Biden in what is otherwise a wide-open, in theory, Democrat nomination? I know that guy Dean Phillips or whatever his name is running from Minnesota, but something interesting to think about. Speaking of something interesting to think about, we've talked about how unacceptable it is that anybody out there at all is willing to defend Hamas for their awful terror attack on October 7th. And I'm going to tell you about that.
We'll be right back. Got to take a little break here. We are rolling with OutKick, and you don't want to miss a moment. Stay tuned.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
But it also reminds me, I'm going to be going up to New York City tomorrow because I'm going to be appearing at a fundraiser for Tunnel to Towers. And it is their big gala event. I'm going to be speaking, reading some of the names of the individuals who have lost their lives and whose families are being helped by Tunnel to Towers. These are first responders. These are police officers. These are soldiers who leave behind families. They're helping to pay off mortgage homes. I'm excited and thankful to be able to thank them by appearing at this gala event on Friday. For over two decades, Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been there for fallen first responders, military veterans, and their families. If a spouse dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty, the foundation will provide the surviving family members with a mortgage-free home. They provided over 1,000 mortgage-free homes, with new ones being announced almost daily. To learn more about the foundation's mission, impact, and how you can help support our nation's heroes, visit t2t.org/donate. That is t2t.org/donate. And again, please join me in doing whatever you can to help all of these brave and courageous heroes through donating to Tunnel to Towers. I am traveling up to New York City to appear at their gala fundraising event on Friday evening to try to do whatever I can to help them be more successful in their mission. I would ask you to potentially join me in doing so as well. And obviously, Tunnel to Towers is an organization that was founded in response to what happened after 9/11, to all the people who lost their lives there, including Frank Siller's brother, Stephen. And over 1,000 innocent Jewish people lost their lives on October 7th in a horrible terror attack perpetrated by Hamas inside of Israel. And there's now a lot of discussion about the fact that Joe Biden is trying to avoid picking a side now in terms of saying, hey, I'm going to support Israel, or I'm going to argue that this is the result of Palestinian oppression, which is what many people in the Democrat Party are arguing. And I saw this and I thought it was interesting. In Michigan, Biden won by just 154,000 votes in 2020. This is from Axios. And there is an Arab American population of 278,000 in that state. So if he loses some of that Arab support, certainly if he loses some Jewish support, that could flip Michigan back to the Republican red state campaign. Biden won Arizona by just 10,500 votes. The Arab American population in Arizona, 55,000. And Georgia was decided by only 11,800 votes. The Arab American population there, 57,000. And there is a lot, this is from Axios, a great deal of angst about what might happen going forward there as it pertains to that particular situation in the election of 2024 based on the Democrat Party identity politics being torn asunder by the fact that many are having to choose between Israel and Palestine in the Democrat Party in terms of who they support. A couple of other things that are out there that I think are important. You heard me talking about the little kid who was at the Vegas Raiders going up against Kansas City Chiefs. Kid was a Chiefs fan. He's out in Las Vegas. Half of his face is painted black. The other half is painted red. When you see the picture of him, he has on a red Travis Kelce jersey, and underneath that, he is wearing a black shirt, and so he is matching his black shirt with his red Travis Kelce jersey. Half of his head face is one color, the other half is the other. Deadspin tried to say that this was blackface because they only saw one half of the kid's face. Later it comes out that half of his face was red. And the reality is, it's kind of important, reality is, according to his mom, not only was he wearing team colors on his face, he also had an Indian headdress on. And he was doing the tomahawk chop, and he was celebrating with what I presume is his favorite team, the Kansas City Chiefs, and other players are doing the tomahawk chop with him. He's an elementary school-aged kid, okay? Young kid. And now the mom has come out, and she says that actually he's Native American too. So evidently, even for the woke universe, remember Pocahontas, that is Elizabeth Warren, claimed to be Native American, got jobs because of it. You're not allowed to claim to be an ethnic group that you're not a part of, unless you're Elizabeth Warren. But this kid's grandfather sits on a tribal council, according to the mom, and the dad is also Native American. The kid's Native American. So not only did he paint his face two different colors to support his favorite team, but he wore a headdress alongside of a uniform of Travis Kelce, and he now is, the story comes out, actually Native American. I'll wait for the apology to ensue from all the left-wing media out there that tried to cancel a little elementary-aged kid. And I'm just going to keep hammering this home because I think it's so important. In order to be a member in good standing of the left wing in this country today, you have to believe that little kids are not allowed to dress up as cowboys and Indians. And you have to simultaneously believe that if you are a grown man and you decide to identify as a woman, that you should be able to do so. And not only that, you should be able to win women's championships, and that that is courageous and brave of you. So just think about this for a minute. The left in this country now believes that little kids can't dress up as cowboys and Indians because it's offensive, but they believe that grown men can dress up as women and claim that they are women, not just in costume, but in real life, and that is actually courageous and brave, and it is so true, in fact, that they can win women's sports championships. This is the world in which we live. And segueing to that, I'm going to be doing something that I never thought I would do before. I am going to walk the red carpet this evening at a local Nashville area movie theater for the debut of a movie called Lady Ballers, which is about a group of men who decide that they are going to win a women's basketball championship by pretending that they are women. And I am in this movie. I would say I have a cameo role, and I am playing the role, interestingly enough, of a women's basketball coach. So I am fully male, coaching a women's basketball team against the Lady Ballers, and my coaching character is outraged by the fact that these men are pretending to be women, and I will see whether my Oscar-worthy performance is in fact going to be reflected upon to the big screen as eminently incredible. You all know that I am not a great actor. I am good at giving my opinion. At no point do I ever have any script for anything that I say. I am good off script. I am not great at on script performance. So we'll see how my acting performance ends up coming off, but I will be in the Lady Ballers movie, which the Daily Wire is releasing on Friday, and I will be on the red carpet tonight for the release of that movie. And is that everything that I have here? I think that it is everything that I have to break down all of the stories today. I'll talk a little bit about Hunter Biden tomorrow. We are going to do college football gambling picks. I say we, that is me and Kelly Stewart. We're about to tape that. It will be up this afternoon, as well as NFL gambling picks. I appreciate all of you. Tomorrow, I will do the final Outkick the Show of the week. And then as you heard me read, I will be going up to New York City to be in the Tunnel of the Towers charity gala to help as one of the speakers there. I believe it will be me, Talk about an interesting group of people. Me, Lawrence Jones, and from Fox News, and Pete Hegseth, and then also Drew Brees, former quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, NFL Hall of Famer, and Rip from Yellowstone. So we will be the five people that I believe are going to be on the stage helping to raise money. Rip from Yellowstone, Drew Brees, Pete Hegseth, Lawrence Jones, and me at the Tunnel to the Towers Gala on Friday. But I am leaving tomorrow, so I will not do a Friday Outkick show event. And I will be on the red carpet tonight. So busy week for me and for the Travis family. I'm curious to see what review my wife will give my acting performance as well, as she will be with me on the red carpet also. So that is what is coming down the pike. I appreciate all of you. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been Outkick the Show.